morning. It's good to see enough of y'all out here today, especially with it being all rainy and drizzly and cold. All right. As Dr. Coker said earlier, today we're starting a new sermon series on our stained glass windows here at Covenant. Stained glass windows were created during the Dark Ages, when many people outside of the clergy could not read. The purpose of the windows were to help people visualize and understand the most important stories recorded for us in the Bible. The images in our stained glass windows here at Covenant depict four large themes in the story of Jesus: his birth, his ministry, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. Look for a moment to the eastern wall of the sanctuary, or in your bulletin. There we see the window that depicts for us the story of the birth of Christ. Within all of the colors, there are four sets of symbols that define for us who Jesus came to be. Near the bottom, you'll see tools: a pair of tongs, a hammer, an axe, and a square. These tools represent Joseph of Nazareth, a carpenter and the earthly father of Christ. As all Jewish fathers did, Joseph raised his sons in the family trade. He taught them to use each of these tools, and they also give us insight into how Joseph raised his son Jesus and what kind of man Jesus became because of it. A hammer represents bluntness, and the axe, the ability to cut to the heart of any matter. We find both of these attitudes in Christ. He was not one to beat around the bush or to avoid hard questions. The square shows us another important attribute of Christ. When a carpenter looks at another's craftsmanship, he checks to see if it was built true. If it is in true, that means the pieces are straight and well put together. If it is out of true, then the work will fall apart under stress. The square is how a carpenter ensures that his work is properly made. Jesus came into the world to ensure that the work here for us was finished before he returned home, that all the pieces of God's plan lined up properly. The final set of tools in the window is a set of tongs. These are used to pull metal out of a forge. It's the most important part of what Jesus came for us. He was sent down from heaven to save us, to pull us from the fire like ingots of metal, so he could hammer and shape us into a more refined image of him before sending us out to be his tools, used to refine the world by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Above the tools of Joseph is a flower, a white lily that symbolizes Mary, the mother of Jesus. Many cultures use species and color of flowers as a kind of second language that allows them to send messages to each other. We still use this today. Ask a woman about daisies, and many can tell you that they symbolize innocence, an idea that leads to the tradition of young girls making daisy chains and daisy crowns for spring festivals in places like Europe. Ask a man what a red rose means, and he'll either tell you that it means love or another week sleeping on the couch. White lilies are traditionally flowers of purity and virginity. The Bible tells us in the Gospels of Mark and John that Mary, in addition to her virginity at the time of Jesus' birth, was a humble and pious young woman. She was pure of heart and spirit, as shown by her faith in believing the angelic messenger that was sent to her, heralding the birth of her first child. She did not question that it would happen, simply how. When she was told that it was going to be a miracle, she did not argue or cry or fuss, but praised God that his will might be done through her. Clustered around the lily are different plants. These represent something that we talk about every year at Christmas time: the gifts of the Magi: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Each of these gifts has a meaning that shows who Jesus was in the light of the Old Testament prophets. Gold is a precious metal. It's not native to the region of Israel. Only kings could have afforded to have it. This gift was to signify Jesus becoming the King of Kings, not just for the Jews, but for all of us around the world. Frankincense showed his priesthood. Native to the East, it was used in temples, made into perfumes and oils for cleansing, and incense for burning offerings. It was used the most on the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur, known in English as the Day of Atonement. This was the holiday that the Jewish priest would pray to have the sins of the people forgiven. The incense points to Jesus as more than just a king, but as our high priest as well, a sentiment we find echoed in the writings of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 18:15 says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet among you from your countrymen." Myrrh is also an incense, but it had a very different purpose in the ancient world. Egyptians used myrrh to embalm the bodies of those that would become mummies. After the exodus of the Jews, they took this tradition back to Israel with them, where myrrh became a symbol of death and burial. What a sobering gift for Mary to receive as the young mother of her first child. The final symbol is one that we're all familiar with, the Eastern Star. Stars have long been used as a symbol of finding one's path. The ancient Polynesians followed the Southern Cross to find Australia. The Greeks sailed the Mediterranean by the light of the Northern Star. And the wise men traveled to the home of Jesus by the light of a star in the east. We, as Christians, are to follow the pure light of Jesus in our everyday lives. In the window, the light from the star streams down to illuminate the narrow path that we are called to walk. These stained glass windows are beautiful pieces of art, but more than that, they are insightful symbols that remind us, every time we look at them, of the pure light that we are called to follow, the great carpenter that builds us and refines us like gold in a furnace. I'd like to close with a quote. An old pastor of mine, Brian Gerstel, has a saying that he told us every year when he taught about the birth of Christ. He said, "You can never see the manger outside of the shadow of the cross." Like these symbols foreshadowed Christ's birth, his birth foreshadowed his death. And his death is what released us from sin. So as we look forward to Resurrection Sunday, let us look back and worship that babe in the manger that made our lives with him possible. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.